on this Sunday afternoon up to 2 o'clock.
Here is Jimmy Clitheroe and the Clitheroe Kid with Peter St. Clair, Patricia Burke, Danny Ross and Diana Day in
Wet Behind the Ears.
I hope I'm not disturbing anyone calling to see Mrs. Clitheroe like this.
Not at all, Comfort. You're welcome.
Yes, and Grandad means it, Mr. Peacock, because the front room's only used for the vicar, booze-ups, and snogging sessions.
That'll do, Jimmy. I've brought Mr. Peacock in here so he can be alone with your mother.
He's not going to start snogging with me, ma'am, is he?
Don't be stupid, Jimmy. Honestly, Cuthbert, you've got to think carefully about everything you say when the young scamp's around.
Well, you know what they say, little pigs have big ears.
Hey, who are you calling a little pig? If you get any more of that, I'll thump you with me trotter.
Jimmy, will you behave yourself, you young him?
Father, Harry O'Reilly wants to see you. He's in the living room.
Oh, I wonder what he wants.
Well, he's your drinking pal. He wants to take you out tonight and get you under the influenza.
Oh, very funny. Well, I'll see what he wants, Father.
Right, Father. Now look, Jimmy, just you behave yourself.
Yes, ma'am. I won't cause any more trouble. I promise.
Can I have that in writing? I won't be long now with the tea, Cuthbert. Then we can shut ourselves in here and get cracking.
That's right. You two are going to start snugging.
We are checking up on the Women's Guild social accounts, Jimmy. I've warned you for the last time. I won't be long with the tea, Cuthbert.
Oh, there's no hurry, Mrs. Clitheroe.
Really, James, you are a little cautious talking about me and your mother like that.
Well, why shouldn't you fancy her? I mean, look what a bargain you get. She's got 50 quid's worth of premium bonds and all her own teeth.
Now, James, enough of this matrimonial matchmaking, if you don't mind.
Honestly, it's open out here today. Someone didn't see you now, Cuthbert.
Well, I told my landlady I'd be here. Who is he?
Mr. Higginbottom. And he doesn't seem to be in a very good mood.
Send him in here, ma'am. I'll soon cheer him up.
You keep out of it. Mind your own business for once. Would you go through,
Mr.
Higginbottom?
Oh, all right, now. Oh, here you are, Peacock.
Oh, yes, I was hoping I'd see you.
Look, have you got some stuff to go to Freemason's Hall?
Yes, I have. It's for the jumble sale.
Eh? Right, my tax is outside.
You won't get much for that at the jumble sale.
No. Clitheroe, why don't you hold your breath for half an hour? Where's this stuff you want shipped in, Peacock?
In the back of my car, but I'm taking it myself. I don't need your taxi.
What? Now, look here, I was definitely told you wanted me.
Then whoever told you must be some troublemaking practical joker. Who was it?
I'll tell you it was.
Excuse me, I'm just going for a shuttle.
Come here, you.
Hold it, come here.
Row about
your son. He just got me round here on a wild goose chase.
I haven't, ma'am. I heard Mr. Peacock tell you that before he could move the stuff to the Freemasons' Hall, he'd have to get in touch with Mr. Higginbottom. So I thought I'd save him the bother.
Oh, but James, I didn't want his taxi. I only wanted to ask him what time his brother-in-law would be at the hall. He's the caretaker.
Oh, I didn't hear that bit.
When you were listening at the door?
Yes, ma'am, when I was... I wasn't listening. I'd just come down after my bath and I bent down to tie my shoelace.
And your slippers?
Excuse me, Miss... Poet.
Get out of this room, you young cat. Go on. Go on. I'm very sorry about this, Mr. Higginbottom.
So am I. That lad's a public menace. He won't block it up.
See you in a minute, Cuthbert.
Very well, then.
Get into that living room. Go on.
Yes, ma'am. And listen. If I hear any more of you saying things you shouldn't, I'll tan your hide for you.
Sorry, ma'am, but you needn't worry. You won't hear any more.
Jimmy, what have you been saying to Mr. O'Reilly here?
Mind you, ma'am, I could be wrong.
No, not more trouble. Mr. O'Reilly, what's it all about?
I ain't telling you what it's about. Young Jimmy told me that piece here doesn't want me in the Rose and Crown Dark team anymore. Why, come round to find out why he wants me exterminated.
Here we go again.
This young scamp was eavesdropping last night when I was on the point of Fred Earnshaw.
Come here, Jimmy, come on.
Oh, ma'am, don't hit me, you know I'm delicate.
How about you? Now, look, Harry, let me explain. As you know, the team's been losing a lot of matches lately.
Ah, so that's it, is it? Look, Pete, I'll admit I've played one or two duck games lately. We all have our off days. You can't always be persistent.
Look, Harry, if you'll only just listen to me and...
That I will not. There are others playing bad besides me. I refuse to be made the billy goat.
Do you mind if I finish what I'm saying?
I don't know why they bother throwing darts. With the wind they've got, they could blow me.
Did you tell Mr. Earnshaw that you wanted Mr. O'Reilly dropped from the team?
I did not. I suggested we reshuffle the best players from the first and second team and make Harry here the second team captain.
Oh well, so that's a fish of a different kettle.
Well, and what's more, Harry, I suggested I drop out of the first team as well, to make way for a younger man and play under you in the second team.
Oh, I see, Pete. Well, you're right. The first team does need a bit of rejuvenation. Okay, Pete. I reckon this makes us pals again. Put it there.
Well, thanks, Harry. And I'm glad we've cleared it all up.
And so saying, they seal their friendship with brown ale and swap kilts.
Will you please keep quiet? Look, go and see who's at the door. It's probably Alfie for our Susan.
All right, Mum. I'll go.
If we pop out the back way now, Harry, we should catch Fred Earnshaw and then we can pick us who's you.
I'll settle that piece, have it anonymously.
Oh, what a lie. Still, it's my own fault for talking. From now on, I'm like one of them three wise monkeys. Whatever I see, whatever I hear, I'm the one with his trap shut.
Oh, is that you, Jimmy?
I don't know. Ask me, Mum.
You what? I'll go to see your Susan, because I
don't want to hear it. I don't even know who you are.
Oh, baby, and I'll see your Susan's boyfriend.
Well, what do you want? Sympathy?
Hey, up, I'm coming in.
All right, then. Come in the living room, if you can call this living.
Oh, Tarzan. I see you. Well?
Well, what?
I'm waiting for you to notice it.
Notice what? Hey, you daring little apers. You've got a bow tie on.
Yeah, no, I just bought it. I went into a shop with this gentleman. I asked to see the man in charge, and while I was waiting, I put two bob in a box for home for 6 pence, but he wasn't there, so I bought the bow tie off one of the assistants, a spotted one. The assistant wasn't spotted, it was
one of the 6 pence. A leopard. Yeah, no.
No, this one was female.
A leopardess.
Yes. Look, stop flipping heels. What do you think I'm daft? Do you think it suits me?
Oh, yes, Alfie, didn't that suit you very well?
I'll pump you in a minute. Anyway, I hope your Susan will like me and Miss Spotty bow tie, because from now on I'm not going to wear anything else.
Hey?
No other sort of tie, I mean.
But you can't wear a tie clip with a bow tie.
I'm going to tie clip.
Of course you are. The gold one with a little chain. Our Susan bought it you for your birthday.
I mean, birthday's not for another 2 weeks.
No, all I know is I heard Susan tell me, Mum, she bought you a smashing surprise for your birthday. A gold tie clip. So if it's not your birthday for another... Oh, no. Go ahead. I've done it again.
What's up? Your face has gone all white.
Yeah, and that's nothing. My other end will go black and blue. Listen, Alfie, you didn't hear me tell you about the tie clip.
Of course I did. You were talking and I was listening.
I know, but I shouldn't have told you. It was Scraggy Sue's big surprise for you.
Alfie.
Correction's here. Alfie, whatever you do, don't mention that tie clip, please.
Yeah, but I... Oh, all right, Jimmy.
Oh, you're in here, Alfie. Oh, I see. What's that you're wearing?
Did you like it, Susan? It's a spotty gold tie clip.
What?
Oh, don't some mothers have
them? I mean, you think I was in a home for sick leopards and I bought a spotted dog. We gold spots on it.
Has he told you about your birthday present?
Yeah, no. No, I told you. I bought the bow tie, so I didn't get a clip.
You will in a minute round here.
I thought so. He has told you, the little delinquent. And it was meant to be a surprise.
That's all right, Susan. Look, I promise you, I won't tell us all about it.
The surprise was for you. Jimmy Clitheroe, you've done it now. Mother just mentioned the trouble with Mr. Peacock and Mr. O'Reilly. Well, we'll see what she has to say about this.
Oh, Susan, come back. Susan, you're my sister. I love you. Susan. Honestly, of all the great big dumb wagging no
No way to talk about yours, Susan.
I mean you, you clock. I'm not kidding. If your brains were made of money, you couldn't afford to get weighed.
You sure you won't stay for a cup of tea, Cuthbert?
No, thank you, Mrs. Kilgrove. As soon as Susan's got the soap powder for me, I must go back and do my washing.
It's a funny thing to do your smalls, Cuthbert. 8 o'clock at night. Or don't you like people seeing your unmentionables hanging out to dry in the daylight?
Oh, please don't stop him, Mrs. Kilgrove. I quite enjoy his saloon bar wit.
Oh, Cuthbert, you're as bad as him. Anyway, it's a bit late. Won't you wash and keep till the morning?
I'm afraid not. My landlady will be back by then, and tonight I had an accident in the house. You see, I just finished watering my hanging plant, and I let Charles, my budgie, out of his cage for a fly run. Unfortunately, he got so excited, he landed on the plant pot and upset it, and I've got wet compost all over my landlady's antimacassar.
What an exciting life you lead.
Mr. Peacock, I hope there's enough for you.
Oh, yes, thank you, Susan. And I'll get some from the grocer's first thing in the morning to pay you back.
Oh, don't, Mr. Silly, I don't want it back.
Oh, I insist. Otherwise, I couldn't take it.
Well, if you do buy some, don't forget to ask for Jingo.
Jingo?
Oh, yes. We got this leaflet about it this morning. Look, Cleaner Than Clean by Jingo. It's a new soap powder that'll be in the shops tomorrow. And as a publicity stunt, they're sending men round called Jingo Johnny.
You mean they call upon you in your house?
Hmm.
That's right. If one of them calls on you and you've got a packet of Jingo in the house, you get a 2-guinea prize. Just think of all that money, Cuthbert. You could buy yourself a new penny.
Yes, and I could lend it to you to wear over your tartan skirt. I'm so sorry, you're killed. Anyway, if there's any easy money to be picked up, it'd be much better to leave it to the experts, you and young Jane.
You're right about Jimmy, Cuthbert. I'll bet his eyes light up when he sees this leaflet and reads about a 2-guinea prize.
Mother, I think you and Mr. Peacock have given me an idea for teaching Jimmy a lesson.
What? Now, Susan, there's been enough trouble for one day. I don't want any more.
It won't be trouble, except for Jimmy. If I could get him to listen at the front room door, he might get a message he'd never forget. Yes, I'll just have a word with Alfie. He can help me lay the bait. Mother's going to tell Jimmy that you want him in here. You're sure you know what to do?
Yeah, I think so, yes. But when he comes in, I send him on an errand. But before he goes out to the room, I say something suggestive to you. Something that makes him want to listen instead of going out. So when he does go out, he doesn't. Well, he does, but he stays where he is, outside the door, and listens. I think.
Tell me how to get the 2-guinea prize, but I keep trying to stop you.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Susan.
To the unhealthy world, sweetheart.
Look out, he's coming.
Oh, Lordy, how they could snog. Mum says you want me out of it.
You do that? Oh, yes, I do. Jimmy, would you slip out and get me some pipes from the machine on the corner? See, here's half a crown.
Just a minute, lover boy. What about the other tanner?
Another sixpence, what for?
For a bar of chocolate out of the other machine. Don't run errands for nothing, you know.
Oh, well, yeah, then. You see, Susan, it's dead simple. This pal of mine who works for the soap powder firm told me, you can get a 2-guinea prize off Jingo Johnny just as easy as you could fall off at Jimmy. Me six.
Oh, yes. What are you talking about that Jingo? Mr. Peacock told me about it in the street. He said he was going to buy some in the morning.
Ah, yeah, well, he'll be after a free 2-guinea as well. But my pal said Jingo Johnny won't go down this street because he's coming down yours.
Alfie, just a moment. Jimmy, just go and get those cigarettes.
Oh, but I'm listening to Bubbling Brook here. Go on.
Thanks, Jimmy. Susan, all you've got to do is buy 1.5-penny package of Jingo.
Alfie, please. About those cigarettes.
What? Oh, I'm sorry. I'll go for them right away.
Not you. Jimmy. Look, Jimmy, will you go and get those cigarettes for Alfie?
Eh? Yes, I'll just go and get them from the kiosk, the machine, and won't be long, Alfie. Just keep talking.
Alfie, look through the window and see if he leaves the house.
Right, you are, Susan.
That was the front door closing.
Well, there's no sign of...
there's no sign of him outside.
I thought so. He's come back to listen outside the room.
But Alfie, if Jingo John is coming down our street tomorrow morning, he'll knock at somebody else's door before ours.
Yeah, no. But my pal told me if Johnny sees you out the door with a bucket of Jingo, he'll still give you the 2 guineas. All you've got to do is wait at the top of the street for his van.
Well, it sounds dead easy, but I'm afraid I couldn't do that. I mean, it would be rather dishonest, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I suppose you're right, Susan. Oh, where's this, Jimmy, with my cigarette? I'm down for a smoke.
I'll just go and borrow one off Grandad for you. Wait for a moment. Did you hear that, Alfie? He's only just gone out. I'll bet he walked right into the trap. I must go and tell Mother before she gets back.
You're right, Susan. Hey, and wait for me. Tomorrow your Jimmy will spend 1 and 9 on something he doesn't want, then wait at the top of the street for a van that won't come and all for 2 guineas he won't get.
Have this cup of tea, Father. The breakfast won't be long.
Oh, thanks, my dear. Is Jimmy up yet?
Susan's calling him now. She can't wait to see what he does about the Jingo man, Jingo Johnny.
Well, he's obviously falling for it. I could hardly keep from laughing last night the way he was trying to think of an excuse for being out of the house today.
Well, little Jimmy Muggins is up. He's furious because I didn't wake him earlier.
It's the first time he's ever objected to staying in bed on a Saturday morning.
Ah, but the closet has been open for 5 minutes and he'll be scared they're sold out of Jingo.
Well, I'm going to bring the breakfast. When Jim's in a hurry, he can be in and out of that bathroom in 2 minutes flat.
Oh, hey, Grandad, what's the time?
Where's your manners? Say good morning first.
Oh, flipping egg. Good morning, Grandad, first. What time is it, please?
It's 9:06. Now sit you down. Your mother's getting your breakfast.
I don't want any breakfast. As soon as I get these shoes on, I'm going out.
Oh, no, you're not. You're not going out on an empty stomach. I've cooked this breakfast and you're going to eat it.
Oh, but Mum, it's afternoon and I've got to get to the shop before...
To the shop?
I'm into the shop of the street and meet John and Ozzy.
Ooh, Ozzy can wait until you've eaten.
Why don't you phone Ozzy up and tell him to come round here?
Yes, I'll do it for you.
Oh, no, I don't want him to know. It's Dad, I mean. All right, I'll have something to eat. Put us some toast, please, Mum. While I eat my sausages.
Wait a minute, what about your porridge?
Oh, porridge all with my sausages. I want it after my sausages.
Shall I put some toast and marmalade in your pocket for after?
Yes, please. Oh, shut up. Oh, pass the milk, please, Mum. This tea's too hot.
Here you are. And have some of that toast your mother's buttered for you.
Oh, thanks, Grandad. Can I make a sausage sandwich to take with me?
You're not eating in the street, and don't drink while you've got food in your mouth. You'll choke.
Oh, good. Then I can smack him on the back with a poker.
Oh, very funny. Bend down while I shampoo your hair with me porridge. I've finished now, Mum. Can I go now?
Oh, all right. Off you go. You don't want to be late for Ozzy.
Ozzy? What's he got to do? Oh, yes, Ozzy. I forgot to... Well, I'll see you later. And Susan, when I come back, I might have enough money to buy you a present. A ticket to Siberia.
Well, Susan, for once I think you've got him.
Yes, but when he finds out, you'd better walk around wearing Alfie's crash helmet.
To think he's going to spend 1 in 9 of the money he loves on soap powder, not to mention standing at the top of the street all morning.
At last, have you got any left, mister? Here's me 1 and 9.
Just a minute. This gentleman before you. That's right, Clitheroe. All get behind me.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Higginbottom. I thought he said he was a gentleman. Oh, I mean...
Watch it, my lad. Watch it. I'll give you something to grease your hair with. I'll clout you with that butter dish.
Here, here. Let's have no trouble, sir. There's the cigarettes, matches, bacon and fire lighters.
He's only paying you to run the errands now, Mr. Higginbottom.
Shut up. I was coming for some fags and the wife asked me to pick up some groceries.
Is there anything else you want, sir?
Yes, it's on this list.
Let me see. Tea, soap powder, and hair curler.
Urkel, were they? I wonder what you are hiding under your cap.
Come here, you young brat.
Oh, let go of me, you big bully.
Here, turn it up, you big...
Big what?
Turn it up. You'll get the shop a bad name.
Oh, all right. Let me get out of here, then.
Not till you're paid. That'll be 19 and 11.
Oh, here's a pound. Keep the change and buy this little brat some sticking plaster for his eye.
There's nothing wrong with me eye.
The day's young yet.
Unusual, so when after all?
Oh, he's not literally about 6 feet.
Jimmy, I mean.
Oh, I say, well, shall I tell Jimmy the man's here?
No, wait a minute.
I'm not going to let him have the laugh on all of us in the end. Go in and buy the powder off Jimmy.
Oh, but certainly we can't cheat him out of 2 guineas.
We'll give Mother the money and she can let Jimmy have it later. On his birthday any time. But he's not going to beat me now.
All right, Susan, if that's what you want.
It is. Go on, tell him you want the powder for your mother.
Okay. Oh, hello, Jimmy. Have you still got that packet of bingo?
The jingle?
Now, don't start again. You've had your joke.
Yes, Alfie, and not as good as a fiasco.
No, it's me mum, you see. She wants to take a powder.
Oh, no wonder with you for her, son.
Sure, all. I want some soap powder for it. She's got to wash tomorrow. There's a clothes on it, not wash herself. She will wash herself, but not with jingle. Look, can I buy that packet and save yourself a trip to the grocery?
No, you can't.
Oh, good, well, here's two, but... You what? Hey, have you got it?
Oh, yes, on the sideboard there. But I'm not selling it to you.
Why don't you sell it, Jim, and recuperate your losses?
Yeah, Jimmy, he's waiting. Your mum at the door with the washing. See, go on, I'll give you half a crown.
No, I have to run to the grocer's for it. I'm standing round for hours. You get walking.
Oh, Jim, please. Look, get your 3 and 6.
No.
5 bob.
You might as well say 7 and 6.
7 and 6.
Yours. Talk to the gentleman with 2 heads.
Oh, all right. See, here's the money. I never met a little money grabber as bad as you.
Well, that's the slickest bit of trading, Jim. I think I'll go back home before you sell me the mountains of Morden.
Oh, don't go, Mr. O'Reilly. Let's go to the door and see what Dicky Doughty's up to.
Right, Jar, Jim. He was acting a bit superstitious.
I had it in the packet and he gave me 1 and 9 of this envelope.
Oh, we'll open it quick before Jimmy sees it.
That's right, and you'll have to be quick.
Oh, I will, Susan. I don't...
What do you want, Houston?
I want you to open that envelope.
Well, no good, Susan. I better open it. That's for me. There's no prize money, only this note. Oh, no.
What is it, Alfie? What does it say?
It says, ever been had, Jimmy. But the man said his name was Johnny.
Yeah, that's right. He's on his uncle, Johnny. Don't give me the idea. He'll do anything for 2 bob.
You mean you wrote that note?
Oh, it's quick, you know.
You little beast, you've done it again.
Well, I'll go to the foot of Joseph Locke. After all that, you've caught him for 7 and 10, Jim. You're a genie.
But I still don't understand what happened about the soap powder prize.
Oh, don't worry, Alfie. It'll all come out in the wash.
With the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall and Diana Day as Susan, with Harry Bailey, Edwin Atts, Tony Melody and Harry Markham. The recorded programme was written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, produced by James Casey and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the King himself.
Everybody had a good laugh about me trick, all except Susan. So this morning, I said to me mum I'd make it up to Susan. I took up a breakfast in bed, tea, toast, and a nice bowl of salt flakes. Oh, she went mad. She was foaming at the mouth.
Jimmy Clitheroe is now appearing in Tom Thumb at the Royal Court Theatre, Liverpool.